Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Because you cannot get to the place of blessing by ignoring the shout not of God.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about blessings in protection. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1998. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, blessings in protection.
Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11 as a beginning point. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we will look in verse 26. It said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. On the one side is the choice. On the other side, the consequence. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing, which is consequence number one, and a cursing, which is consequence number two." Now note the condition of these blessing or cursings. A blessing if ye obey the voice of the Lord your God. A curse if you disobey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 28, "And a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Now in the early stages of Israel history, God was telling his people, "I want to bless you. But before I can bless you, you must obey me." But really deep down inside, we all want to know what it is to have blessing. We want to know what it is to have prosperity. We want to know what it is to be rightly related to God and rightly related to other people. The problem is to get there demands obedience. That's where the big hang-up comes. Now, Satan comes to you and says, "You don't have to be obedient. You can be blessed without obedience." And the nation of Israel had a very clear instruction from God. You obey me, I will bless you. You disobey me, I will curse you. And the minute you start disobeying me, it will be because of idols that will come into your life and will replace me. God can be so quickly replaced by hidden idols in your heart. But I find those who have seen the consequence of a wrong life are quickly motivated to obedience. And it's no big problem to have authority over you to help in protection. Now let's go later in the nation of Israel in history. Let's go to the book of Amos. Now when the hand of God, the blessing of God has been withdrawn, the curse of God is about to fall on the nation of Israel. Amos chapter 5, and we find them coming under the curse. But they were blinded to the fact that the curse was coming. So God takes a prophet, really a farmer, gives him a message to go up to the capital city, the northern kingdom, to prophesy the message of coming judgment. They didn't hear it. He got off on the wrong foot in chapter 4 of Amos when he called the women cows. He said, "Hear this, ye kine of Bashan." He talked to the women there about being cows. And that is not the way to get started. Imagine there was probably quite a women's lib movement at that time as well. But he went right to the she-coons of the northern kingdom and reads their mail. And then he switches in Amos chapter 5 and verse 19. I'll read that text. "As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it?" God talking out of the nation of Israel, telling them cursing was coming. He said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offering and your meat offering, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifice and offering in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of Moloch, Cheum, the images, the star of your God, which ye have made unto yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Let me illustrate something here. In California, one time I preached on how saved people can become Christians. Principal of a school came to me. He said, you preached heresy. He said, saved people are Christians. And I was illustrating the fact that there is academic. Let me start up here with academic purity. That is what I know. There's an academic purity, what I know. We could call this also, another thing we could call this is our position or positional purity. The Israelites had knowledge of God. They had knowledge of God's word. And then there is action purity. That is what I do. Let's call this practical purity. That is what I do. Based on what I know, this is what I do. Now, the Israelites did not fail in this. They knew, but and they were doing. In fact, God said, you come together, you sing, you offer me sacrifice. But God says, I hate it. What group in the Bible had excellent academic, excellent action externally, but inwardly they had a terrible, rotten attitude, and Jesus saw them for what they were in their heart? What was the group? The Pharisees. What was the problem of the Pharisees? It was not their academic. In fact, they got so academic that they knew more than God knew. They wrote their own guidelines and their own standards, and they wrote the whole business to where Jesus Christ himself interfered with their knowledge. They had knowledge of the law, plus they added to it. Action? Oh, they tithed. They got out in the street corners in their prayer. They made broad their phylacteries. They had the boxes of the Bible tied to their wrist and hung between their eyes. Talk about action. But Jesus said, I see right through your knowledge, and I see right through your doing, and I see right into your rotten heart. And what he called them, why did sepulchers went over like a piano in a church of Christ with that group? And they had one goal in mind, and that was to get rid of him. I was preaching saying, how does a saved person become a Christian? It's by having a right attitude as well as actions and right academics. Christian means what? Little Christ, like Christ. What is it that makes a difference? What I am internally. Why was God judging the nation of Israel? It was not because of their knowledge. It was not because of their action. He said, I will not smell in your assemblies. You're coming together for meetings. You're offering me burnt offerings and peace offerings. You are having your song times. But God says, I hate every bit of it, because I see in your heart, personally, your heart is filled with idols. And because of those idols, you have disobeyed me. And because of that disobedience, I will have to bring a curse upon you. Now make that application to Israel. Make that application to your life personally. What are you internally? What are you personally? Because it is in this I am level that Satan will come and trick you. And it is in the I am level that Satan will destroy your inner attitude and destroy your inner man and bring your attitude to a point of rebellion against God while you keep the external facade of going on in your Christianity. So God uses the illustration. He says, as if a man did flee from a lion. So here's a picture. He pictured a man walking out in the field and he runs into a lion. I don't care much about running into lions, whether they are tame or otherwise. He got away from the lion and ran into a bear. Not much better. Don't wander too far in the perimeters at night. Now, that black bear might be very nice. I don't know. But I don't take any chances. Where we used to work in logging, I used to live up in the logging camps, and the black bear would come out at night. And so I would take my chainsaw. I had one friendly, very friendly bear. I knew he was friendly because he waved both paws at me like this. And so I thought, from henceforth, I carry my chainsaw from the strip to my logging camp. And I would carry that out. And when you'd see a bear, you'd start that saw. And the little ones would hustle up in the top of a big pine tree, and the mother bear would stay sort of cruising around the base. I wasn't taking any chances. I don't recommend bear hunting with a chainsaw. I would never deer hunt with a chainsaw. Have enough problem with a rifle. So what we're talking about is bear. They might seem so nice. I wouldn't trust them any farther than I could drop kick a Hammond organ. And this guy came. This bear came and he escaped the bear. Now, keep in mind, it says, then he went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall. He said, praise Jehovah, what a day. Fought off a lion. I fought off a bear. Oh, thank God I'm home. And what happens? And a serpent bit him. Born loser, you can jot by that verse. Of the three attackers, which of the three is most deadly? The lion, the bear, or the serpent? The serpent. Now, why would the serpent be more deadly than the lion and the bear in this scenario and really in life? I mean, where was this guy? He was in his house. What should have been a place of safety. He leaned his hand to rest and the serpent was right there. God was using three illustrations to the nation of Israel. You've escaped the lion. You've escaped the bear. But you are playing into the hand of the serpent. Now, the lion today could picture government. The government put Daniel into the den of lions. The government today can be pesky, but they are not our biggest problem today, because we can legislate against the lion. So if you legislate, that's no big deal. Or you can litigate. You don't win in litigation much, but you can influence legislation. The bear could picture humanism. Then we get down to the real point, that our greatest attacker is the serpent, Satan. Question, where did he attack? Was it not his attack in the home on the person? How did the nation of Israel get destroyed? By them personally drifting from God in their hearts. Every man is responsible personally for his relationship to God. Where does the serpent first appear? Where do we see him in the Bible first? What chapter of the Bible? Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Well, let's go back there to Genesis chapter 3. It said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Notice the characteristic of the serpent is the serpent was subtle. He was not obvious. He was subtle. He doesn't come to an individual and say, I want to destroy you. He is subtle. Serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He put a question mark where God had placed a period. One of the favorite tactics of the devil. The question, the authority of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Basically told the woman, God is lying to you. For God knows in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, he makes a promise here. As gods means you will be equal to God. So number one perversion was the perversion of authority. See, Satan cannot touch an individual until that individual voluntarily gets away from God-placed authority. Satan cannot make you sin. Satan can only suggest to you the sin. So authority then was replaced by anarchy. Total rebellion against the authority of God. Second thing that was soured is attitude. You see, where there was once fellowship and love, they started accusing. Attitude turned sour. And another thing changed was atmosphere. Now there was tension, stress that came in. You can imagine the difference in the atmosphere of the garden before sin as after sin. Now note the progression here. Whenever you find a bad atmosphere, you trace atmosphere to attitude. You trace attitude to relationship with authority. You walk into a church and there's a bad atmosphere. The church atmosphere is set by attitudes of the people. Attitudes of the people set by relationship with authority, whether it's God, the pastor, etc. You walk into a home, you sense the atmosphere. Atmosphere is determined by attitude. Attitude is determined by relationship with authority. You go into a Christian high school, you see an atmosphere determined by attitude set by relationship with authority. No matter where you go, no matter where you look, you'll find atmosphere determined by relationship with authority. And Satan came and instantly came attacking the authority of God, because that is where he got his doom sealed, questioning the authority of God. Now let's go to the sheet that I handed out to you, and we can find a clean spot without any foolishness on it. We see in a practical application, how did God prepare these people to have a right relationship? Now keep in mind, Adam had a relationship with God. That relationship with God was right. Eve was not yet on the scene. How was that relationship with God to be protected? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, you will see the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The first thing that God gave to man was responsibility. Remember, teenager, the best thing for you to do in protecting your relationships, the best thing is to accept the God-given responsibility that is yours. A listing of these responsibilities will be given in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and following, through chapter 6, verses 1 and following. The responsibility of every believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means I must love God with my whole heart. That's the great commandment. The responsibility of the husband is to love his wife. The responsibility of the wife is to submit to her husband. And the responsibility of the child is to obey and honor mother, and dad. These are the responsibilities that are given. God gave Adam a responsibility. Then God gave Adam restriction. Look what it says in verse 17, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. Now note this. Of all, every tree thou mayest eat freely. Superabundant, yes. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. So there was the shalt not. A solitary no. Superabundant, yes. A solitary no. And Satan went after that solitary no. He thought, how can anyone tell you that you cannot partake of that tree? Why did God give the command to not partake of the tree of the garden? Why did God give that command? Was it not basically for protection? What is the state of Wisconsin or your particular home state have a law against walking on interstate highways? In fact, some of your better skateboarding would be done on these interstate highway ramps. That would be a blast. Well, the state of Michigan saw several children having fun on the interstate, so they thought, we cannot tolerate happiness in this state. The legislator met and said, we will have to make a law against that. Now, the truth of the matter is, the reason they made a law against that is to protect the people from walking on these interstate highways. Because they realized pedestrians and Mack trucks don't mix on the same highway. Now, God has given a shalt not to protect. And the more quickly you acknowledge the fact that God gave you that shalt not for your protection, the more quickly you will get to your place of blessing. Because you cannot get to the place of blessing by ignoring the shalt not of God. Israel ignored God's commandments, disobeyed God's commandments, and consequently lost their protection. And God says, okay, you've gotten away from the lion, you have gotten away from the bear, but you have played into the hand of the serpent and he will destroy you. I am turning you over to Satan and let him have his way with you. And I will use ungodly nations to bring judgment on you as a people. And when the restriction and the responsibility were ignored, the relationship was broken. They lost their relationship with God. Now the next thing that God gave to Adam in this chapter was a relationship. Adam was alone and it was not good. And all of the young men here should say, amen. Especially those of you who are soon anticipating marriage. I'm talking to the counselors now. Adam was alone and it was not good. So now that this relationship was right, God brought into the life of Adam a woman. Relationship. God gave Adam that earthly relationship, and the first thing that Satan did was go after the God relationship so he could destroy the earthly relationship. He has not changed his mode of operation. He has not changed his tactic. Think quickly before we close. Think of an Old Testament character who defeated a lion in the field, defeated a bear in the field, and the serpent zapped him in his own home. And because of that serpent zapping, there was a broken relationship. Think of an Old Testament character. Who was it? David. David comes onto the battlefield. And upon entrance to that battlefield, he said the giant has to go. And his brother said, he is a seasoned man of war. David said, I'll go against him. You can't do that. David said, no, one day I was tending my father's sheep. And he said, a lion came. He said, I killed that lion. He said, I killed a lion, and a bear came. He said, I killed the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine is no match for my God. The lion was gone, the bear was gone, and David got zapped by the serpent. Where was David when the serpent got him? At home. But where else was David when the serpent got him? He was found in a position of irresponsibility. It was a time when kings went forth to battle, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. His responsibility was to be on the battlefield, and he wasn't. When he became irresponsible, he became unrestricted. Because had he been on the battlefield, he would have never seen Bathsheba and the relationship with God and within the family would never have been broken. You say, well, I would never. I'm smarter than to run from God and do something stupid like that. Then you assume in your pride that you are more righteous than David was, and you assume in your pride that you have more resistance than Adam and Eve in their state of perfection. Beware when a man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And also keep in mind that relationship with God is an inner relationship with God, not an external thing. It's an inner relationship with God. Only you and God know whether you are born again or not. Only you and God know whether or not you are right with God. Only you and God know the secret idols that may be in the heart that will bring about destruction if you are not careful. You'll see the pressures of these situations.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking about blessings in protection. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.